Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Orla Gurmeel Mogget, Fuí Sin. Now, huge political effort is now needed to get emissions reduction targets back on track. That's according to the Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, after the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, said that even if, this is some line, even if all the actions listed in the government's climate action plan were fully implemented, it would still not be enough to meet legally binding targets for 2030. Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications, Eamon Ryan, joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac. Good evening.
It's a hugely significant line in the sand in one way, and we'll get to it in just a second, but I do want to get your opinion and your reaction to what was said to us earlier on the programme by the foreign policy advisor to Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, Ophir Fouk. I asked him for his reaction to Ireland's recognition of the state of Palestine, which happened today. Can I ask you to listen to his response and I might get your reaction afterwards?
By all means.
It's like recognizing UFOs. There's simply no such thing. There isn't a Palestinian state. It has no borders. It's not a country. It's not a state. And it's unfortunate that it was recognized as such by Ireland. Well, it's your prerogative to make a mistake, but there is no such thing as a Palestinian state, and it's delusional to suggest that at a time that only a few months ago on October 7th, the Palestinians attacked Israel, the Hamas attacked Israel, the worst attack since the Holocaust, and recognizing a Palestinian state on the backdrop of such an atrocity is in essence a Guinness Book World Record for a prize for terrorism. That's exactly what Ireland did. And I understand you're close to Guinness, right?
And that's Ophir Fouk, the foreign policy advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. A Guinness World Record prize for terrorism, he says. What's your reaction, Minister?
That's the core of the problem, that this Israeli government doesn't recognise Palestine and the rights for a Palestinian state. That's the problem. And for decades have left the situation in limbo where it has festered and raised conflict, which brings into call, which impacts on the security of the Israeli people as well as the Palestinian people. It's not right. It's not just. And if anything, it actually makes the case for why the Irish government, along with our Spanish and Norwegian colleagues, have made that recognition, added to international momentum, firstly for a ceasefire, and secondly, the day after the ceasefire, for a resolution to the conflict. And that can only be done when you recognise Palestine.
I understand your point of view, but they say, and Ophir Fouk says, that the core of the problem is that a significant part of the Palestinian state that you recognise today is run by Hamas, a terrorist organisation.
We're not condoning Hamas. The Irish government, each of the three leaders, just spoke in the Dáil, and each in turn said, we of course condone the attacks on the 7th of October.
But you recognise what they want, a Palestinian state.
Well, firstly, we also have to condone what happened the day before yesterday in Rafah, where totally innocent civilians were bombed to death, young children, adding to the 35,000 people that have already been killed in Gaza by the Israeli government and army. And there is, what I said in my speech is, where there is a bombing, whether it's a killing in a kibbutz or whether it's a bomb being dropped from a jet fighter onto a refugee camp, all is wrong. There's no hierarchy in death. They have to stop what they're doing. It is not going to bring peace. It is the International Criminal Court and the International Court of Justice are calling them to stop immediately because it is clearly contravening the basic rights of the Palestinian people. And once you stop, you then face the question, well, what next? And what next has to be a peaceful political solution. And that cannot occur if you don't have a recognition of the rights of the Palestinian people.
Can I ask you one more question on this? This is well down the list of priorities when people are losing their lives, but the backlash to Ireland, economically maybe, for recognising the state of Palestine. The Taoiseach Simon Harris rejected an Israeli warning over the impact on the Irish tech sector. I wonder, is that a concern now? Is there any way that the Israeli lobby, for want of a better word, might have a word in the ear of chief executives in Silicon Valley and say, I wouldn't do Ireland if I were you?
I don't believe it will, and I don't believe it should stop us committing to what we're doing. And this is something that didn't just happen even since the last 6-7 months. In our programme for government back 4 years ago, I was very proud the Green Party actually championed that we would put into our programme for government a commitment to make this recognition. The question wasn't if we would do it, it would be when and to what effect. And what we are doing now, working with our colleagues in Spain and Norway, but also supporting an Arab peace plan, which is, I believe, the best way to achieve peace for all the people in the region, including the Israeli people, is to actually get momentum behind that. And what we have done, I believe, can accelerate that. I don't believe, the economic consequences for us, I don't believe there will be any, but even if there was, I think in this case, we cannot stay silent. You cannot just allow the continued atrocities to occur and do nothing. There is a time, it's a historic time to take action. And by what we've done, I think we have helped international action, hopefully leading to a ceasefire and a permanent peace.
Can I ask you about the Environmental Protection Agency report today? In plain language, it says the government is failing in terms of climate action. You won't meet your targets, even if you set out and meet all of the actions that you've planned for yourselves. Why are you failing?
We have a real gap to what we need to do. And it's true, we have to be faster and quicker and larger in making the changes. But I do not accept the point that we in Ireland are failing. We are actually starting to see real progress and real capability in a number of areas. In how we heat our buildings, the EPA themselves recognise that in that area, actually, we are on track. We're actually showing we can retrofit and improve our homes. That benefits us, not just for climate reasons, but also makes for a healthier, warmer and more affordable home. We're also seeing progress in the other energy areas, in the development of renewable power and in the industrial sector. We have seen recent progress and we need to continue that and accelerate.
Yeah, with progress without doubt. But how can you say this is anything but failure when if you, the EPA is saying that if you reduce, make sure all of the actions that you've set out for yourselves, if you implement all of them, even if you do all of that, and even there's a question mark over that, but even if you did, you'd only reach a 29% reduction by 2030. The target is 51. How can you say that that is anything other than failure?
No, we have to go further. And included will be what the government has just agreed today, that we will launch a whole new biomethane programme to allow farmers earn an income and reduce emissions at the same time. That wasn't included in the EPA modelling. Similarly, last week, we just announced a new scheme for communities to be able to develop solar power. Solar power is taking off in this country incredibly, and we want to push it further, which will help us close the gap. That, again, wasn't included in the EPA modelling. I'll give you another example. Transport is probably our most difficult sector. But we will this summer, in my mind, we will proceed with taking some of the true traffic out of Dublin city centre as one of the examples in way which we can reduce emissions from transport. And again, that's not included in the existing modelling system.
But there are other things that are included as well. But what you're mentioning is good, but it's piecemeal. Do we need now, given the shortfall, the significant shortfall, a new climate action plan?
The Climate Action Plan is updated each year based on how we're doing. And yes, we will have to be more ambitious.
OK, and will it meet the 51% target now, the Climate Action Plan that we have updated?
Cormac, we have to. We have an obligation.
No, that's not the question, though. Of course we have to. It's legally binding. But what the EPA is saying is that given the Climate Action Plan we have, we won't.
We'll have to go further. The plan doesn't conclude at 2030. We know we have to go beyond to a zero emissions country and that our economy will be better off for that. It's not just for climate we do it.
How can
but
we go
it also
further?
Prepares, well, we go further with a whole range of other different initiatives that aren't currently included in the EPA modelling, but which
them?
We can deliver. Well, the ones I just mentioned to, we only announced them today and last week. But there will be further initiatives. And the real challenge is getting the sort of public support and political support for a consistent approach. These projections are about what happens at the end of this decade. Mm-hmm. We have time to go further and take further initiatives. We do need, there's a whole range of different issues kind of restricting us. We need a faster planning system. We need to make sure we have the resources for it. But I believe the Irish people firstly want to do it. We can't give up on this huge challenge. I think we're actually quite good at it. We are actually improving. Even though those figures show a huge gap that we have to close, I believe we can do it. And I think
how can you say that when they say that sectoral emission ceilings for 2025 and 2030 are projected to be exceeded in almost all cases, they say, including agriculture, electricity, industry and transport. So what you've allowed yourselves in terms of a limit, in terms of emitting carbon, the EPA is saying you're going to blow through that significantly.
And we have to go further. I believe we can't do it.
Can I stop you there? Because you can't continually say we'll have to go further without showing us the nuts and bolts. How?
Well, I'll show you one first nut and bolt. 2-3 years ago, had I said to you, Cormac, that Irish farming would reduce their use of nitrogen fertilisers by 30%, you would have said, I don't believe that's possible. It has happened in the last 2 years. Similarly, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, have I said to you, coming out of COVID, that we would now be back at much bigger numbers on public transport, that actually Irish people are flocking to public transport in a way they'd never done before. Mm. So that gives me confidence.
Yeah, of course, they're sectors are failing their targets.
Yes, and that's why we need to do more. So what does more mean? More means that we have to make some courageous political decisions around allocating road space so that our buses get through quickly, so that that public transport experience is even faster. And we need to do that in Cork, Galway, Waterford and Galway as well as Dublin. Going faster, that in agriculture also as well. We live up to the Origin Green brand that we're trading on by looking at other clever ways that Teagasc are looking at where we can make further reductions in agriculture. It's not impossible. We have started. We do need to close the gap. We do need to do more. I absolutely agree with the EPA in that. But if there was a message going out to the Irish people, oh, we can't do it, we're no good at it, we would give up. It's not true. We are good at it. We have real capability as a country.
Yeah, it's not that we can't do it. But when you're trying to cajole people away from private to public transport, for example, in rural Ireland, what they tell us is, what public transport? I can't rely on it. It's not there on time. It's not early enough. It's not late enough. Even in some cities, they say, it's too slow.
Well, hold on a sec, Cormac, now. One of the biggest changes in rural Ireland in decades has been the rollout over the last 2 years of a new rural Irish public transport service connecting Ireland. Every week over the last 2 years, this government has introduced a new or enhanced public transport service. And this, again, gives me confidence that we can actually do it. Because if you look at the first of those examples, on the Ring of Kerry, the previous bus service, oh God, it would come every 10 hours. It was incredibly infrequent. When we put in a reliable service, the number of patrons on it increased 20-fold, mainly younger people availing of the travel card, which was half the price it had been previously. And that's what makes me think we can close the gap.
The Irish targets in transport.
Because we haven't made enough of that investment, because we actually need to go further. We need to do a lot more.
Who's to blame for that?
Well, no one's to blame. It's what we actually have to do. I'm responsible. I'm the Minister of Transport. And
okay, let's drill down there a little bit more. Why haven't you managed to implement more initiatives within your own department to meet your own targets?
Well, firstly, it's hard to get bus drivers at the moment. That's a first constraint, and hard to get mechanics. But we are actually doing that. I was down in Cork last week talking to Bus Éireann. We have 50 vacancies still. Like, people in Cork will know, the bus service is not up to standard. It needs to improve. So we do have to get additional staff into those places. The second reason why we've had difficulties is our planning system has gone through an incredibly difficult period. And Bor Pinola, we're not making decisions for almost a 2-year period. And in that absence, it did delay and hold back a lot of projects. This government will introduce a new planning bill which will help to streamline some of those decisions.
Why wasn't that done before now?
It's taken 2 years because it's a 700-page bill. There was 1,500 amendments in the Dáil, and it went through 150 hours in committee stage because it's important you get it right. So it does take some time. But this is a multi-decade project, and this decade
decades.
No, but it will take us 3 decades to make the change. We always knew that. And we do have to make the first change is the biggest, hardest. But once you start making the change, what people will see is it actually improves people's quality of life.
Yeah.
It's not about it's not a hardship change.
Can I put it to you as Green Party leader and Minister for the Environment, that you're not acting urgently enough, which is some assertion, isn't it? It's some question. And if you're not acting urgently enough, I just wonder why. Is it your coalition partners?
We are acting with absolute urgency. I can absolutely guarantee you that, Cormac. I've been working on this climate issue for 30 years. I've been in the Dáil for 20 years, specialising in how we make this change. And I've learned that, well, firstly, you can affect change. It does take time. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years to get things ramped up and get the resources in place. But I'm very proud that of our party and government, working with our coalition colleagues, have actually made strategic changes in this country that will have influence over the next two to three decades.
We're failing targets nearly in all sectors, according to the EPA. The Greens are often derided, aren't they, by other politicians. Do you remember your suggestion for growing lettuce on balconies or on windowsills, for example? Now, sometimes even your coalition partners deride green policies and perspectives. Is that damaging the wider climate effort, in your opinion?
I was in Cabinet today speaking about our plans, but also speaking about the wider climate issue. Cormac, people can deride it in that way or depict us in whatever way they want, but the scientific reality is we're facing a monumental challenge. Our climate systems are changing. We can see that in Ireland as much as anywhere else. And we are absolutely committed to make sure that our country is good at this and can actually rise to that challenge. And it's going to be better for us as a people, not just for environmental reasons, but socially as well.
Okay, but it's about the collective effort and how to convince people to change, I suppose. Can I ask you about EV charging points? Because you're launching a plan to expand charging stations and so on. Again, why wasn't that done before now?
It has been done. The number of chargers have gone from something like a year ago, about 1,700, up to 2,600, I think, at the moment, and rising. And we have put aside now 100 million euros, which we will use to charge on, firstly, on the motorway stations, but also, most critically, in urban areas. Our issue with EV charging, for a lot of people in rural Ireland, it'll work quite well because you can charge from home. The biggest challenge will be in some urban areas where we will be introducing schemes that can help support transition in that area.
Okay. Can I ask you in one word then, what you're telling me this evening is on foot of this EPA assessment that we're going to miss our targets, there will not be a new climate action plan. Is that right?
No, I'm not saying that. Every year it changes because we have to learn as we're doing and increase ambition as we learn new ways of making this change. And so that climate plan, particularly the one that came in the last year, recognised that we had a gap to close, recognised that we actually had to do further, recognised that we had to set out specific actions that are not currently assessed by the EPA, but that they will be delivered and will help us close that gap. And not just close that gap, but go into the next decade. So we actually end up in 2 to 3 decades' time as a country that's fit for this modern world and which is really showing leadership in climate. I believe we can do that in this country.
51551 Minister Eamon Ryan, thank you very much indeed.